night we also have an elements class. And those of you who are going to elements class, it's going to be starting real soon. But before we do, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. Well, if you got to go. I know you love the word too. I know just what you mean. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be going to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The next scripture is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. And it says, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." The next one is Genesis chapter 7, verses 15. Verse number 15, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And the last scripture, not the last scripture ever, but the last scripture for this purpose is Genesis 7:22, and it says, "All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in dry land, died." My subject tonight is "As We Live and Breathe." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity, O Lord Jesus, to hear your word, to study your word, and to just to come to know you even better, to come to know you even more, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, give me the words to say. Speak through me, God, this night, that someone may be touched, that someone may receive a revelation, God, that someone may come to know you. In Jesus' name, thank you. You may be seated. I want to help you tonight to rightly divide the word of truth. Specifically, those scriptures I just read, all of them have something in common: the breath of life. That phrase is in the King James Version only four times, and I believe I read all four of those scriptures. But it is a very, very important concept, and it leads us to something to know about Jesus. Tonight I'll be using an object lesson, basically something you do know about to help you to come to understand something you might know a little bit about. I'm here on Wednesday night, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir. You probably know about it already, but I want to help someone to come to know Jesus even more. Amen? It's a scary thing to lose your breath. Many people, when they can't breathe, it causes a panic over you. I can't breathe. I wasn't there for the flood, but I imagine it was horrific. To this very day, my sons are grown men and daughters are grown women, but if I hear one of them coughing in another room, it just takes me back to when they were a baby. Did they lose their breath? Are they choking? And I just can't help but that reaction for, because it is a real thing in our lives. But tonight I want to talk about the breath of life, and how after God gave him the breath of life, years later he caused a flood that would take away that breath of life. And it kind of makes you wonder, what were they doing with that breath of life that God had given us? Amen? Somewhere along the line, it was taken for granted. Even in our day, we kind of take for granted the breath of life that God gave us. And we have certain phrases. I'm just going to name a few famous quotes or figures of speech or lyrics or songs. I will fight for you with every breath in my body. I will never, ever let you down. Donald Trump said that. I will fight with every breath in my body to stop the control spending, to stop the out of control spending and debt that are bankrupting our kids and our grandkids. Many artists, every breath that I take, every little breath I make, oh, Mr. Bobby Brown, but our breath of life, the breath that God gave us, is very, very important. Those of you who know me know I work at Job Corps, where students from ages 16 to 24, they come, they live there, and they learn to get a trade to one day possibly get a job and to keep a job and start a career so that they can pay taxes. It is a government-funded program, so the end goal is that they pay taxes. They're there from anywhere from a year to a year and a half. And one of the things, and they have a lot of other activities they do besides learning, because they actually live there in dorms, we have to have activities for them to do. Recreational activities, and Bible study, by the way. Bible study is another activity that they need to come to, amen? But one of the activities that they have for them is going to the beach, going to a pool in various water parks where they may or may not have to swim. Before they can go swimming, they have to be swimming certified. That because the Department of Labor, the government, you know, that's how they cover their liabilities. They have to be swim certified. Part of that swim certification is a video that explains drowning and drowning prevention. Being in the position that I have there, I have to set up the projector and this video. So I've seen it about 5 times. And in watching this video, some things stuck out to me that made me want to speak about and possibly give you a lesson and maybe reveal something about the Word of God to you. Is that all right? But one of the things I do let them know is when you come to church and there's a possibility that you can be baptized in the name of Jesus, you don't have to be swim certified for that. just come on over. This is a one water trip you don't have to be baptized. You don't have to be certified for. Amen? Repent. Repent and be baptized in his name. Some of the things that stuck out in the video, now I'll talk about them with you. The instinctive drowning response, unnoticed drowning behaviors, the trained lifeguard recognizes a drowning victim and brings them to safety and provides rescue breathing. The swim certification video was called When a Person Drowns. And some things stuck out to me in that video. And upon doing some research, I came across the definition of drowning. Drowning is the process of experiencing respiratory impairment from submersion or immersion in a liquid. And sometimes drowning is not always fatal. And it doesn't always have to be in water. It could just be some type of liquid substance, some type of fluid substance. The largest group of people that drown are children between ages 1 and 4, sadly. There's the biggest group of people that are out there. They have the highest drowning rates. Drowning, the most of the time, it happens when children are not supervised. They're somewhere near water. The second largest group of people that drown are males and men due to exposure to water activities, bad choices, alcohol, maybe drugs, not wearing their life jacket or not wearing it properly. They find many men who have drowned. upon further research, I found something to help to prevent drowning. They put it in the form of an acronym or catchphrase, RESPECT. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. No, that I don't mean Aretha Franklin, but respect. And each one of the letters means something in drowning prevention. And there's some startling parallels to the Word of God here. Right? R, recognition. Recognize the sign of non-swimmers, tired swimmers, distressed swimmers, and swim and potentially unsafe situations. Someone in distress. I'm drowning. They're drowning. As I mentioned before, we have an instinctive drowning response because water or whatever it is gets into our airway, our respiratory system. We're going to try to keep our head above water. So we're flapping our arms, trying to pull themselves up. Many of you have heard, I'm going down once, going down twice, because you can only maintain that for so long, for so many seconds before you go under for that last time. Again, drowning is not always fatal, but this is the response. And to the untrained eye, it just looks like that person is just splashing around in the water. It doesn't look like they're drowning, that they're in a battle for their life. Many of the children that statistic just talked about, they drowned within 10 feet of family members who were right there. They couldn't see that they were fighting for their life, trying to keep their head above water. They couldn't recognize that. That's why it takes a trained lifeguard to recognize, hey, wait a minute. They're not having a good time, and they make a beeline down a coastline, down a beach, get out of the way, and they jump in and save the person. The video was narrated and made by a former lifeguard. But someone in distress. I believe you know where I'm going with this. Someone may be drowning in guilt and shame of sin. And it may look like they're having a good time, but they are not. They could be in dire distress. Please, they need prayer. They need help. E, education. Bible study, elements class. We need education in the Word of God. Praying to Him that He is the Savior, that saving only comes from Him. It's a mighty act that God does within us is the saving. We need to know how to call on Him. We need to be able to warn people about those dangerous situations, but we need to be educated. If we were more educated, we could prevent children from drowning. On that same note, children being young and just born, they don't know any better. This is also true of the new convert, someone who was just repented, baptized in the name of Jesus, and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But remember, that is only the beginning. That is only the beginning for them. We need to be able to help them. God gave us a church to help them. God gave us a pastor. Please help them. Warn them. Be in fellowship with them. It goes along with our next one. Supervision. Direct, constant supervision is a key. Everybody needs a pastor. The Bible says, I believe it's in Ezekiel, I will give you pastors and shepherds after my own heart to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen? We need that. We need that. It prevents drowning. Physical barriers. The P. R-E-S-P. Physical barriers. I'll say it again. Church is one of the safest places you can be. And many of you were here for my message on our day in court and how The church provides the witness protection program. Sometimes in the witness protection program, it's called a safe house. Amen? This is a safe house. Sometimes it is we need a physical barrier. In a case of drowning, there should be a fence or something around that pool. I believe you can't pick up, you can't put up a pool, a ground level pool about 4 or 5 feet deep without a fence around it. There has to be a physical barrier around it. In-ground pools just as well. It has to be some type of gate that can lock so that no children can accidentally go in. Very important to prevent danger. We have a barrier. God has given us a fixed barrier around us. Thank you, Jesus. Expectations, understand what to expect from water environments and the bodies and your body's response. Communication is also key. Warn and inform family members, friends, and guests about the dangers that are present in and on around the water. And like it says in Ephesians, that we speak the truth to one another, for we are members of one another. And finally, T, learn to swim and how to respond in an emergency. We had this rhyme that we used to go by in case you saw someone in the water. And it's four things. You reach for them with a rope, a pole, something to reach for them over your arm to pull them back out of the deep water. Okay? Reach, throw. Throw them one of those life preservers, one of those foam rings. It's called a life preserver or a lifesaver attached to a rope or not, but you throw it to them so they can reach it with their arm. Reach, throw. Finally, not finally, but one more step. You could do it. None of those are available. Row. Reach, throw, or row. You get in the rowboat and go out there and get them. And get them in the water. Before they go down for that last time, you go get them. Finally, if there's no way to reach for them, if there's nothing you can throw to them, if there's no way to row out there to them, then you go. You go swimming out there to go get them. Reach, throw, row, or go. Help someone from drowning. Spiritually, let's pray for them. We need to reach out to one another. Haven't seen you in church for a while, brother. We miss you. We love you. We want you to come. We want to see you again. Is there anything I can do? Do you need a ride? I'm thankful for a pastor and his wife who gave me a ride about a year straight when I first started coming here. I didn't have a car, and he would pick me up faithfully. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. Kept me out of trouble. It made me consider the loss of life. But more specifically, it made me consider the loss of the breath of life. Amen. And last year in June, CBS had a report that there is a shortage of lifeguards. Not too many people apply for the job as lifeguards, and they had to close many beaches because of that. Yeah, I think there should be more lifeguards, amen, especially in the summertime. Sound familiar? We pray that the Lord of the harvest send out more lifeguards. Amen. Someone who could recognize that drowning response, that somebody's not having a good time, but they need to be saved. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Ghost prompting us and sending us toward those people who are lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Amen? I'll ask again, what were they doing with the breath of life that God had given them? what should we be doing with the breath of life God gave to us? It says in Scripture, after the flood, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's continue to call upon his name. Call upon his name with me for a while. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Lord, continue to save me. Lord, continue to come after me, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the sacrifice you made, O Lord. Thank you for coming after me, O Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we cast all our problems on you. The weights we give to you, God. For you are amazing. Thank you, Lord. With every breath of my body, as I live and breathe. He gave us the breath of life to give him glory. Make no mistake about that. It was his intent that everything that had breath would praise him and call upon his name. Amen? But as we know, man sinned with that same breath. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 19, it talks about the seven things that God hates. And it says, there are six things in Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil. 19, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Another New Testament reference to that, Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threats and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest to breathe out lies. Something else was seen of them. And just like in the video, I saw a Job Corps drowning else something, brought something else to my mind. David experienced the same thing. David, in Psalms chapter 40, he said, he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, a liquid, fluid type substance, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth. Sounds like he probably got mouth to mouth from our Lord Jesus Christ, our God. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. Pulled him out of the miry clay. Thank you, Jesus. And then put his feet upon a rock, got him to shore, and put him on a rock, stood, and put a new song in his heart. So that he was one of everything, one of everything that breathes, praise the Lord. Amen. Also, when I think about someone calling upon the Lord, I can't help but think about Peter. Everybody remember that account? Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. Him and the disciples were in a rowboat or in a boat, and late at night, here comes Jesus walking on the water, and Peter says, I don't know what he was thinking, but Lord, if it is you, bid me to come out onto the water with you. And Jesus said, come. One word, come in, just come. And he got out of the boat and walked toward Jesus. And it says, in Matthew 14:6, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, you know, Peter gets a bad rep being ye of little faith, That's when Jesus said that to him. But he had the good sense with the breath that he had to call out to him. Amen? To call out, Lord, save me. Please, when you need help, please call it. I can't help but look at that statistic to see how males are the second group of largest group of people who drown. Is it because they didn't want to call for help? Is it because they made a bad choice where they couldn't call for help? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. That's all Peter had at that point, was the breath of life in order to say that. It was later that he received the Holy Ghost. John 20, verse 22 says, after Jesus had risen from the dead and he was talking to his disciples, he said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they did. Eventually, later in Jerusalem, they were endued with power from on high. I don't know about you, but that sounds like rescue breathing to me. That they definitely were rescued. They definitely had the breath. They had more than just the breath of life. They had the Holy Ghost. Amen? And just as in the days of Noah, when they obeyed God and entered the ark, and the water was abated, God established his covenant with them. And evidence was the rainbow. When the disciples and all that were with them obeyed Jesus and went to Jerusalem, they received power from on high, evidence by speaking in tongues. Amen? And from that day on, men and women who have the breath of life began to call upon the name of the Lord and repent. From that day on, men and women who had the breath of life began to call upon the name of the Lord and were baptized in Jesus' name. Men and women from that day who had the breath of life began to call upon the name of the Lord and be filled with the Holy Ghost. We speak in tongues now. We testify of God now. We preach the word with boldness now. We sing in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. We are led by that same Spirit. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, as I live and breathe, I need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. It's so important. Yes, that breath of life that we have helps us to make the proper requests, asking him to forgive us, confessing our sins. When we are alive, you need the breath of life to make that decision to turn away from sin and toward God. That breath helps you. But that breath helps us to ask him for the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's one thing to be able to talk with the breath of life in you, but it's a whole nother thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. Amen? In Ecclesiastes, it says, Ecclesiastes 3:19, it says, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, and everything befalleth them. And I mean, even one thing befalleth them. As one dieth, so dieth another. Yea, have all one breath, so that the man has no preeminence above the beast, for all is vanity. This points to the need for humans to have God's Spirit. Amen? And nowhere in the Bible that I can remember where it said a beast or an animal was filled with the Holy Ghost. It was meant for those created in his image that God put his hand to. Amen? By contrast, it says in Romans 8, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen? Again, by as I live and breathe, I need the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's like that song we sing in the Victor's Crown. By your grace, I live and breathe to worship you. Amen? Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome the world. The breath of life enables us to sing in His Spirit. Amen? Amen. And that other song that we sing, Great Are You, Lord, that kind of brings it home to me. Without the breath of life, could we sing, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath, hallelujah, in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praises, your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It reminds me of another old hymn. Some of you may know it. Love lifted me. Anybody, do you remember it? Maybe you do. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, deep, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me, now safe am I, 'cause love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, even me, love lifted me. Dead me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Says souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves, he will lift you by his love. Out of the angry waves. But the master of the sea billows his will obey. Wow, we just sang that. The peacekeeper, the peace speaker, the wind and the sea have to obey him. He's your savior, wants to be saved today. Wow, this isn't in my notes, but I just got to say it when someone is drowning. Remember, they're about to lose their breath and they're panicking. They could be frantic and resisting even you trying to save them. They're fighting away. I've heard some people say they have to swim up behind them and grab them and pull them away, because in their panic, they're trying to push you under in order to pull themselves up. The key there is surrender. Like the song says, be saved today. Let him save you. Allow him to save you. Surrender to his power. Surrender to that salvation. Submit to him. It's very important. He's the only one who can save you. Some questions to consider. Oh, but before I do, pray for our men's fellowship. Pray for the men's ministry. That kind of concerns me that more men die from drowning. A lot of men die from drowning. Pray for them. Because there's an Old Testament reference to that. In Isaiah, he said, "For behold," Isaiah 41:28 says, "Behold, there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor that when I asked of them could answer a word." Was the airway impaired? Had the breath of life been taken away? Because our voice box, our ability to speak, is so connected to our ability to breathe. If you've lost one, you probably lost the other. There was none. There was no man there. Why is that? Isaiah 59:16 says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor." Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness as it sustained him. And Ezekiel 22:30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me and the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Pray for men. Pray for us, please. Pray for me. Amen. If nothing, in order to stand in the gap, we need the breath of life. We need the Holy Ghost. Please don't. Please do not lose it. Some questions to consider. And I'm going to be wrapping up soon. I asked this one before. What were they doing with the breath of life that God had given them? What shall we do with that same breath of life? Has sin and guilt filled your life so much that you can't call for help? Are you drowning in sin and feel that no one hears you, or that it's your own fault that you're drowning like that? Do you know someone who is drowning in sin, but you don't know how to help them? Have you lost your voice or the ability to cry out to God? Has it been a long time since you spoke in tongues or made a joyful noise to the Lord? Please consider these questions. Would you stand with me? Let's just right now, let's just cry out to him. Cry out to him. Asking him to save us. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we need you, God. Lord, we have friends and family members who may or not have lost the breath of life, who haven't called on you, Jesus, who needs a call on you. Lord, we stand here calling on you for them, Lord. Save them, Jesus. For we love you, God. We need you, Lord. Lord, help our families, help our friends, help our co-workers, Lord, who are lost. Help the ones who have lost, O Lord Jesus, the breath that you have given them. Help them, the ones who have lost, O Lord, the voice that you have given them. Help refill us, O Lord. Give us a refreshing, O Lord, in your spirit, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for filling us. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting us in your church, God. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor who educates us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that leads and guides us. Thank you, God. Thank you for protecting us from hurt, harm, and danger. Thank you for giving us brothers and sisters and members, O Lord Jesus, to warn us. Lord, help us, O Lord Jesus, to be sensitive, O Lord Jesus, to those warnings. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to be sensitive, Jesus, to those who may be drowning. O Lord, that we can see that they may need help, O Lord Jesus, and that they're not having a good time. Lord, we know that salvation only comes from you and that only you can save, O Lord. Jesus, work through us. Hear our prayers, O Lord Jesus, to seek and to save, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we live and breathe, let us worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. God bless you. They still may be going on with elements class. Please do not disturb them. Give classes to 8.